A podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
I'm Christina Kahn.
And I'm Leela Hilton.
And this is Burn Before Reading,
the podcast about shitterature.
We're here to examine the terrible writing we did when we were younger.
And talk about other cringy literary topics.
What is cringing you out this week?
This week, I think something that super cringed me out was we had to go, this part's not cringy, but we drove to North Carolina to visit our family for a baby shower for my fourth nephew that I will now have.
Yeah.
The mini boys, I love it. And Jason had made a plan to do like a whole like family weekend of it. Like, let's just, because it's also his dad's birthday this weekend, or I should say last weekend when this comes out or whenever. So we were just going to go to Elon, North Carolina, and then where it is.
Elon. Is it E-L-O-N?
That's where they live. We actually went to Eden, North Carolina. Okay. Anyway, so we were going to do that during the day for the shower and then loop back to Suffolk and hang out, probably get dinner with them, be there for the night, and then hang out a little bit in the day. Anyway, God bless him. Jason had a really good idea, but he did not remember to like map it and see like what distance would be like for that journey. And our intention, yeah, our assumption was if we drive to North Carolina, it will be less, because it's like a 3.5 hour drive to get there. So we're, yeah, hoping that then like to get to Suffolk from there would be like cut a little shorter.
Turns out it's four hours.
Yeah. Turns out it's 4 hours from where we were to get to Suffolk. So basically we had to go drive 3.5 hours to, we ended up rescheduling because we were like, even by the time we get there, it's gonna be late at night and it will be really grumpy. And so we're like, we'll just do it another weekend. But so that meant that we had to drive 3.5 hours there to stay for like an hour long baby shower, an hour and a half long baby shower, and then drive for like almost like 3.5 hours home. Like,
oof, and that is really rough in one day.
Yeah, it was. I was very grumpy, and so it's, I'm fine. It's fine now. But I was, that was a very cringy moment for me.
Yeah, I've definitely done that. I think actually Zach and Alex did that too. They were like on their way to Alex's parents' house, and then they were like, "Let's stop at Christina's." And then when they stopped here, they were like, "This is not on the way." I was like, "You didn't have to come."
Yeah. Planning is really important when it comes to trips, guys. Really is. Tina, what is cringing you out this week?
Actually, what's cringing me out this week is our friend Jenny. She's a listener and a friend of us in the pod. Quick note, our friendship with Jenny has actually evolved significantly since we recorded this episode a couple months ago. And now Leela and I know that Jenny uses they, them pronouns. So if you're going to repeat this story or if you're going to talk to or about Jenny, just be sure to use they, them, and we'll do the same. Thank you so much. I'm going to read this. Well, first of all, Jenny was reacting to something in our Burn Before Reading chat in the Discord, which you can sign up for $1 a month of any of the network shows that have Patreons to join our Discord server. Jenny was reacting to something that had been said the day before and just said, "Oh no." And then Leela said, "What's wrong, Jenny? What's going on, Jenny?" And Jenny was like, "Oh wait, that was supposed to be like a response to the thing before." But then Jenny said, "I did want to share that with this group a memory I suddenly had last night. When I was about 11, I had a crush on a boy from summer camp, and I found his address in a phone book and mailed him a letter, and in the envelope put those sweethearts with messages like, 'You're cute,' and 'kiss me' on them." Anyways, I had also written my return address on it because I learned how important that was to the post office for some reason. And after I mailed the letter, I regretted it because, duh, he was going to know it was me. And that's so embarrassing. So I went home and tried to steal the mail back out of the post office box. So the next day I was confronted by Mom, who had found in the mailbox, one, the letter, two, a pair of tweezers, three, a note asking the postal worker to please put the letter and tweezers into box number 9. So I think what this is describing is like a townhouse or apartment complex style of mailbox where it's like you have your receptacle that you open with a key that your mail goes in. But when it's outgoing, you put it into like a bigger communal.
Okay.
Wait. Maybe the postal worker did put the letter and tweezers into box 9. Or maybe Mom was checking the big outgoing mailbox. One of those two things. And then Ginny said, let me know if this needs translating for Gen Z. A phone book is a brick that people used to have everywhere with literally everyone's name and phone and address in them, like witchcraft.
Burn.
And ultimately, the guy I liked in fifth grade did send me an unsolicited dick pic like 15 years later. So now I am pondering the differences in, quote, putting yourself out there. Ginny, thank you so much for sharing this story with us. If you would like to be our cringe of the week, please shoot us an email at burnbeforepod@gmail.com or hit us up on Discord. Also, we will be launching a Patreon at some point between 1 and 10 months from today.
Yeah, so excited for that.
I've been thinking about starting our Patreon just with the $1 a month tier so that people who listen can join the Discord server. Please let me know if you would be interested in that tier earlier or if you don't care and you're just waiting for something juicy later because we're planning out some cool bonus episodes and stuff like that.
But our Discord's so fun for any listeners who are not yet on our Discord. It's really fun. Yeah. It's a nice, open, welcoming community full of a bunch of nerds and some probably have similar interests as you. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for sure. I mean, at least, very least, this podcast they have.
Yeah.
Ginny, thank you so much for that. That really made me laugh. I love, you know, it's just like we always say on this podcast, like, you got to be able to look at your old self and laugh.
Yeah, that is great. I was just, like, also reading the second part of what she said. Sorry if my story is not clear. I tried to steal the letter out of the outgoing mailbox with tweezers and lost the tweezers. Why was she using tweezers? I'm so confused about the tweezers element.
I think because she was trying to get it. She didn't have the postman's key, post office worker's key to open the big outgoing mail. So she could only get it with a little tweezer.
Wow.
You feel me? She had to get it like back through the slot.
Lock picking like a little bit. No, is that not
yeah,
what you're saying?
But without picking the lock, but just taking the mail out.
Okay.
Okay, imagine it's second grade and you have a Valentine's box.
Yes.
It's like a shoebox with a little slit in it and Valentine's go in.
Yes. Yes.
So imagine somebody puts the Valentine in your box and then gets cold feet and is like, I don't want to tell my fifth grade crush that I like them. So then they take a pair of tweezers and they're trying to like tweeze it out through the slit because they don't want to open it or don't have access to open it fully.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that illustration.
Yeah, totally. I got you.
So she like dropped the tweezers in there?
I think she did. I think she did drop the tweezers in there.
Oh no, Jenny. Well, thank you for letting us share.
Yeah, we love you, Jenny. So Lila, what did you bring us this week?
All right. So this week I brought a piece that looked like it was an assignment for, I would say maybe like an 11th or 12th grade English project. And I believe the prompt was to do like a soliloquy. So we must have been studying, I don't know, Hamlet or something. And
tell the listeners what a soliloquy is.
Oh, okay. A soliloquy is a type of poetry and I don't remember anything else about it.
It's a soliloquy is a monologue
yes.
that is delivered to oneself, whereas a monologue, you deliver it like to another character on stage.
Doesn't it have a specific like rhyming format that it, what's it called? Rhyming scheme?
I think that's a Shakespeare thing. Let me see.
Okay.
So the
maybe I'm thinking of
not,
a sonnet.
That is a sonnet. Is in iambic pentameter.
Yes. Okay.
I think a soliloquy, an act of speaking one's thoughts aloud when by oneself, regardless of any hearer. So it's like a monologue is like, I'm doing it for you.
Yeah.
But a soliloquy is like, to be or not to be, Hamlet being like, should I fucking kill myself?
Yes.
Yes. It's like, that one's just for him.
So, pretty much everything I was writing at this time was about crushes on boys or
sure.
relationships or boys that had dumped me because I was too intense. So let's get into it.
Read it, girl.
All right. To move on or not to move on? That is the question. In no way was he, capitalized, ever right for me. Conceited. Restless to find the one, capitalized. And just when he finds her, he itches to find someone else. And I'm sure you'll say there are a million guys just exactly like him with that same itch. But you can show me every jerk in the world, and I'll still tell you that he was beautiful, unique, romantic, special. He did love me and stop loving me over 2 years from this time, right now. Oh, God. And I know, and I know where he is. Oh, yes, I know. For his faith and for his own sense of recklessness, he lives on the edge in a frozen wasteland. An icy desert. Oh, my passion. My beautiful nightmare. Why were you so eager? Is it that bad here? Did I disappoint you that much? Pah! Frozen wasteland indeed. Oh, indeed. As you shiver in the depths of Siberia. Surrounded by people you won't discard. I sit here, far from you, in a warm house filled to the brim with activity and people. And even with all of this chaos, and even through all of this bustle, I don't think I've ever felt so cold or so alone.
Wow.
It's a lot of feelings.
Wow. Okay. So tell me, how old were you when you wrote this?
I must have been very young. I was probably 16.
Okay. And I assume, do you remember, were you studying Hamlet?
Yeah, we definitely, I think so, because it says the title of this file is To Be or Not to Be Project. So I think this was like a prompt, and I love a prompt. I thrive on a prompt. So,
okay.
It is, you're reformatting it because the formatting is crazy.
It was just, well, the first, like, stanza was bigger font than the rest of it. And then it was, like, it had that setting, like, add space after paragraph. But when you're writing poetry, every line is a paragraph.
Oh, yeah.
It was big.
It was a lot.
Okay. So are you asking yourself if you should move on or not move on? That is the question.
I think that's what I started doing. But then I definitely switch to talking to this boy, which is not what a soliloquy is.
That's not what a soliloquy is. It says to move on or not to move on, colon. That is the question, colon. In no way was he ever right for me, semicolon. Conceited, semicolon. Restless to find the one, and just when he finds her, he itches to find someone else, period. So that's all one sentence.
Yeah, I had a real problem with run-ons. I had recently really like gotten very into the semicolon life, and then finding the difference. My teachers like were like, you don't use a semicolon for every sentence, and I was like,
definitely agree.
I was like, got it, regular colon. And they were like, well, okay.
Regular colon is even more specific than a semicolon.
So I really liked it, and I liked it. I think I wrote it like that because at this time I was thinking about like how you would write a monologue. So like I said the more grammar, I always say the more grammar's in there, I just think it's like easier to know exactly what the intention is of like how it should be read. So like I guess my intention would be like for this first one, to move on or not to move on. There's not even like a, don't you think there should be a comma after on to move on? I don't know.
No.
Anyway.
You don't need a comma there.
So to move on or not to move on.
I would put a question mark there probably.
Yes. That is the question.
Because that is the question. Be a question. And then you could be like, oh, I knew that was a question because there was a question mark
right there. Yeah. So I don't think maybe I understood the assignment actually.
So I'm going to just say some things that are capitalized.
Okay.
Definitely he, as in our God, the one boy we're dating right now.
Yes, our God, our Lord and Savior, Tyler.
The one, capitalized one. Oh, that's kind of frozen wasteland indeed, capitalized. The U's are also capitalized. Okay, so not as many capitals as I thought there would be in the beginning, but definitely do not capitalize pronouns for regular dudes.
Yeah.
He's not your God, honey.
It seems like that's what I'm saying here. For sure.
He's conceited, restless to find the one, and just when he finds her, he itches to find someone else. So there is no question here of your being the one.
No. Of course it was because supposed to be me.
He found you and then he found someone else, even though you were the one.
Yeah, how? Why? So why doesn't he understand? I said we're still dating. No. Oh.
I'm sure you'll say there are a million guys just exactly like him with that same itch.
So who am I talking to now? Myself?
Me.
Maybe it feels like I'm talking to a reader now.
Dear reader, yeah. I'll still tell you that he was beautiful, semicolon, not where semicolon goes. Unique, semicolon, romantic, semicolon, special.
Period.
Not none of those are for semicolons. Was he beautiful? Was he unique? Was he romantic? Was he special?
At the time, yes. He was really romantic, I thought. He's
okay. Okay.
He was so, like, I don't know if this will surprise anyone, but he was blonde and the lead guitarist of my band.
What? You've never liked a blonde guitarist before?
What? It's just happened.
Remember when we were doing that episode, like, my favorite things bracket, and I made you choose between women, period, and big blonde beautiful boys, and it ruined you. You exploded right before my eyes.
I hate that. Oh my God.
So he was romantic for real, in like a real way, not in like a he looked high at school. Me and smiled. Yeah.
No, like one time he used to be really into me, and he would like in a piece we talked about from you recently, like do a picnic inside. He kind of like did that for me.
Aww.
And it was like, to me, the cutest thing I'd ever seen. He brought like a picnic basket from his mom and put all their good china in it, and like, but just made us cereal and milk. It was the cutest thing I'd ever seen, and I still feel like that, just like at the time, I felt like the most romantic move that anyone had ever made. Plus we were making music together, so I was always like, it's not a good idea to do this, which I always do, but it can be really like I can't think of the word, but it just really draws you in, and like you really get all consumed by this idea that you're like making art together and also making out.
What about Fleetwood Mac though? What yes. about Fleetwood Mac?
So prime example of why that is not something that should happen. This was, by the way, this was my Mormon, so just think about that.
Okay, well, that explains why his is capitalized.
He still wasn't my God. Well, maybe he was.
Well. Well. So what's going on here? Had he just dumped you? Like, what is happening in your life?
I guess he had dumped me. Oh, my God. It said 2 years from this day. So what? Actually.
Wait. My God. He did love me and stop loving me over 2 years from this time right now. Horrible. That's horrible, Leela. Over 2 years from this time, comma, right now.
I don't know why. And my English teachers always told me I used too much punctuation.
So did you date for 2 years and he just broke up with you? Or did he break up with you 2 years ago?
It had to be that one. I had never dated any. I wrote a song about myself called Little Miss 2 Weeks, because guys always dump me after 2 weeks.
That's really funny, because I think the Spin Doctors did 2 weeks? Did they sing 2 weeks?
It's been 1 week since I looked at you.
Oh, it's 1 week.
Right?
Fuck.
It's been 1 week.
Oh, that's Barenaked Ladies. Just forget everything I was about to say. Forget everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so I think actually then I must have been like 18 maybe when I wrote this, which is
okay.
Somehow worse.
Huh, yeah. So he had had you not dated in that time, or had you dated and you were still pining for him anyway because you're a little 2 week miss?
I did date during that time, but I mean, he also dumped me after like a couple months, so I don't know. I can't remember. I just like was obsessed with him. I thought he was so romantic. All the stuff that he knew all this like music that he was introducing me to. He was so cool.
Sorry, you can't hear how loudly I just rolled my eyes.
We would go like to a park, and like he was like, dude, there's this thing called letterboxes that like are people will leave and you have to find them in the forest, and people will
like geocaching.
I don't know what that is.
That's what that is, basically.
Oh, okay. And then people have all like signed since it was put there, like signed the pages.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It was really cool. And it was like a really fun scavenger hunt. There was like a website you could go on. And so we would like do that in the park. And like, I was like, he just knows things.
You can still do that. You and Jason could go do that. It's called geocaching.
No, only Tyler, like, only Tyler knows.
That's why we wrote him this poem. Yeah, I think today it's like you go find like, I think it's like you go find a thing in a location and it's like a small thing and you like take it and put your own maybe write a note and leave there. Yeah. Like I think it's kind of up for interpretation.
Okay. I don't know how we got there.
Because of your love note exploring or whatever.
Yeah. So I guess I was really pining. I was pining really hard.
I guess. Yeah. It's very interesting, but isn't it cool that you like kind of don't remember the specifics because you haven't cared about this?
It is 15 years? Really refreshing because this definitely must have been all consuming at the time. I know it was. It was all consuming.
Yeah. He did love me. This is like I'm trying to write the way that Shakespeare sounds in my ears.
Yes.
And I'm not quite getting it. He did love me and stopped loving me over 2 years from this time right now.
Yes.
It reminds me of I have this monologue still memorized to this day from A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it has the same kind of like funny little construction.
Yeah, totally. And I was in that play around this time too. So
is it Titania who says it, and she's talking about like the slave boy, and she's like, but for her sake do I rear up her boy, and for her sake I will not part with him. You know what I mean? It's like I think it's because people talk different in Elizabethan, LOL, throwback to our last Usy episode. I think it's because people talk different then, and also because he was trying to hit that iambic pentameter.
Yeah, he was totally trying to hit that.
Yeah, or at least, I think his, if I remember correctly, wow, I've not read Shakespeare in a really long time. I think it is often iambic pentameter, and when it's not pentameter, it's still iambic, if I'm remembering correctly.
Your mom's iambic.
Wow. She would be so confused to hear that because I don't think she knows what that means either. Okay. And I know where he is, semicolon. Oh, yes, I know. I'll let that semicolon slide. That's where it belongs.
Okay, good job.
For his faith and for his own sense of recklessness, he lives on the edge, in quotes, lives on the edge in a frozen wasteland and icy desert. What the fuck?
Do you want me to talk? Okay, so he was Mormon.
Yes.
Okay. So Mormon men, sometimes women, but mostly men, when they turn 18, they are called.
They do run Springer?
No, the opposite. Oh. They are called to go on their mission. Trip. So like if you saw Book of Mormon.
Yep, I've seen Book of Mormon.
So you can request very little of this mission trip. Pretty much like you have to go where they tell you. So this boy said, I want to go somewhere where they speak another language so I can learn a new language. They put him in Siberia, Russia. To me.
Oh, it does say Siberia. Yeah. Okay.
And I think his wife is Russian. I might be wrong.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my passion, my beautiful nightmare. Why were you so eager? Is it that bad here? Did I disappoint you?
No, he had to go.
He literally was assigned. And then you say pa.
I don't know why I said pa.
Is that like a Bubby thing?
It really seems like it.
That's not a Shakespeare thing.
I thought it was a Shakespeare thing, but it was definitely something that my Jewish grandfather said all the time.
My mom used to talk when my dad's mom, who was my Jewish grandmother, was still with us. My mom used to talk all the time about the noises she would make and how threatening they are to a daughter-in-law. And to this day, if I like grumble a certain way in my throat, my mom is like, you fucking shut the fuck up.
Oh God. Trauma. Yeah. Yeah. We got to insert a clip, that clip from Step Brothers when the guy keeps going, pow! And
Will Ferrell's like, are you saying pow? What are you saying?
Frozen wasteland indeed, which is usually something that people say when it's like not that thing.
I know, but he literally was there.
It was in a frozen wasteland. Oh, indeed. As you shiver in the depths of Siberia, surrounded by people you won't discard, I sit here far from you in a warm house filled to the brim with activity and people, and even with all of this chaos, even through all of this bustle, I don't think I've ever felt so cold or so alone. You are literally saying, how dare you leave me for Siberia?
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I wish that's why he left. I think I wrote that in here. It's not why he dumped me. Like, he dumped me before that, and he dumped me because I was way too clingy, which is, like, not fun.
Tale is old as time. Yeah. And actually, being dumped for being clingy, because it happened to me too, it makes you cling harder.
Yes.
It's so weird. The only time I've ever begged for a man to take me back was because I had been dumped for being too clingy. And I was like, I want you more now.
I know. Is there any way we can get through this? Like, I'll chill out. Like, it makes me want to die.
No, you will not, girl. You will not chill out.
Uh-uh. That was a lie.
Oh my God, I cannot believe how much you are jealous of Siberia. I cannot believe that you're like, oh, sure, Siberia. Like, he's having a grand old time.
Yeah, I guess I was like, at the time, it was tough for me. And if we have any Mormon that are not ex-Mormon listeners, that are just regular Mormon listeners, I do apologize if I blaspheme or hurt your feelings here. But at the time, I
have a couple notes about the Mormon church that I think makes me not that sorry.
Yeah. I just really didn't understand. I mean, it was kind of crazy. So he had gotten, like, he was so smart. He went to, like, the governor's school here in Richmond, wanted to do architecture. So an architect, that's the word. And, like, helped design buildings and stuff. He was really cool and, like, knew math and, like, things like that.
Oh, my God. A man who knows math.
I know. So he, like, was at this really, really, like, hard to get into college in New York City, like, studying architecture. And then, like, in the middle of his freshman year, he left to go on his mission. And, like, whoa. Isn't that crazy? I was just don't do it. And he's like, it won't work. Like, none of my family and friends would understand. And I'm like, oh, you would be shunned. Okay. Got it. I understand that now. But then at the time I was like, just say no. Like, why don't you just not go? And then like,
just like how I misbehave, you also misbehave. And it's like, no.
No, he was sent to Siberia.
That's fucking wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Siberia does not want Mormonism.
I guess they do, because he was somewhat successful delivering the good word there from what I saw on his posts, but yeah.
Do you think he would have told the internet if it had gone wrong?
Probably not, you know. But you know what he did do is he called me at some point, maybe that next year when I was in college. I just got a random call from him, and he was atoning.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
That's interesting.
So I've talked to, like, somewhere before. It's kind of similar to, like, Alcoholics Anonymous, that they have one of their steps is, like, to apologize to those you've wronged.
Yeah, which is wild because the church itself, I think, wrongs a lot of people.
Yes. And then this is a pattern that I've just noticed that I think is interesting. That's also exists in Judaism. For Yom Kippur, it's supposed to be the day. It's literally the Day of Atonement. So you're supposed to be. So really a lot of, like, Jewish people who, you know, are kind of more hardcore. Well, they'll call, like, all their exes and, like, apologize, and like they like my one of my Judaism professors told me her boyfriend called her every year on she was just new to expect that call that her ex-boyfriend would call her every year.
That's so wild, because I don't view, like, if somebody tried to apologize to me that much for something that I did not care about anymore, that is not atonement. That is a new burden.
Thank you. I completely agree. I think it's, like, really, I don't know, I almost think it's kind of manipulative. And it just, like, probably in general, just a way for you to as that person atoning and just like feel better about yourself, I guess.
I mean, kind of like going to confession in Catholicism and other sects of Christianity. It's like, hey, go wash it all clean. And I've seen that in movies sometimes, like, oh, is it like Once Upon a Time in Mexico or something where he like goes from the little confessional booth like directly to murder and then straight back to the confessional booth? And it's like, hey, man, still did murder.
Yeah. So that was crazy and shocking to hear that. And then I wonder if maybe that might have actually, because I'm just like really struggling to know when, what the date was of this. And I'm wondering if maybe his atonement call kind of triggered me to write this. But that can't be true because I don't remember. I was taking only Spanish classes. I wasn't taking any kind of like Elizabeth, like anything where I would be writing in English at this time.
So. Do you think that you were just inspired? Oh, but it says project in the title. So it's like you did it for class.
Yeah, it had to have been like senior year of high school then where I was just pining.
It's called To Be or Not to Be Project. Very original title.
Thank you. It was, I think it's the time where we had to, that we weren't allowed to do other titles because we all had to like email it in or whatever.
Oh.
We all just have the same subject line.
That sounds hella confusing to try to grade.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't know.
Wow. So did you write any other stuff like in the Shakespearean mode?
I think
or is this kind of it?
I may have. I definitely tried. I had like, I got really into sonnets at one point to try to challenge myself with like the rhyming scheme. So I definitely did that. I took like a Shakespearean class for fun, like outside of school, after school.
Wow.
So I got really into that. But I mean, clearly I didn't understand what this assignment was. So.
I think you probably got, if I was your teacher and you were in high school, I'd be like, yeah, good enough.
Yeah,
good enough.
Probably got a B.
Yeah, I would circle this part and be like, are you still talking to yourself?
Not part of the assignment.
Pah, frozen wasteland indeed. It's like, did you think he was in Florida? I just can't get over this.
Oh, indeed. I know. I think it's just, I don't know why. I don't think I understood what indeed, like, oh, indeed meant. It's my only explanation.
Surrounded by people you won't discard. Now, I'm not a big fan of the concept of missions and being a missionary. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah.
But would you say that those are people that he loves so much he won't discard them?
Yeah, his little like cult of brethren. You know, that are all in there together.
Oh, are you talking about the other Mormons who went to Siberia?
Yes, the other elders. But they were all like 18. But after he came back from his mission, his name was Elder.
And it's just like this little like humble brag. You're like, well, I'm Mormon, surrounded by people I love, but I'm still sad about you.
I think I really loved the idea, romanticized the idea of being because I did feel this way inside my heart a lot, or I fancied myself to feel this way, to be just like surrounded by friends and people who do love me, but still feel lonely so and like alone. Nobody understood me.
Nobody understands me. Yeah, deeply relatable.
And I guess I thought that was not unique. And no, like that was unique. So I was like, people should know that like, even though like I come from a beautiful home of two loving parents and like I'm doing great and I have lots of friends, I'm sad. I'm lonely too. I'm
still so sad.
I'm still special.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about regarding To Be or Not to Be Project?
No, I don't think so. Just like I really haven't thought about this kid, this boy in a very long time. And I wish him the best. I hope that he's doing okay.
Oh, yeah. And maybe still in Siberia, maybe not in Siberia.
No, hopefully not. I think he did live in Russia a long time. And I think his brother also chose Russia, like asked if he could go to Russia so that he could be with his brother. Because I feel like they both married Russians, but I could be wrong.
Interesting. That's so interesting. Yeah. I would love to, on the side, Facebook stalk him with you.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it tonight.
Okay. Hell yeah. All right, Leela, is this one horny, sad, or just plain bad?
I'm going to say sad.
Okay.
With a, it's sad and just plain bad at the same time.
I was going to say like horny slash sad. It's, you are like using your horny sadness as a weapon.
Yes, that's so true.
Oh, indeed, Siberia.
What am I even saying?
I cannot get over that. It's so fucking funny. Well, Leela, thank you so much for reading this one. I know that it was, you're a little extra embarrassed for this one, but I think it's just perfect for what we're doing on this show.
Hey, that's just fine. I'm happy to provide content.
That's it for Burn Before Reading.
Until next week, remember,
your cringe is part of you,
but only a small part of you. Bye, guys.
This podcast was created by me, Christina Kahn.
Hosted and produced by Christina Kahn and me, Leela Hilton.
Follow me online at Christina Kahn and buy my book, Indie Book Publishing from Start to Finish.
After you bought Tina's book, follow me online at Leels for Reels.
Our theme music was produced by Sakura Wishes.
And our logo was designed by Michael Hardison. Follow Michael on Instagram at RoyGBiv or check out his work at wildlingpress.com.
Thanks for listening, friends.
See you next time.
X Media.